Radio CSS Media,
your source for family-centered content.
RadioCSS.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Well, hello there, I'm JD. Welcome to episode 37 of Audio Theater Central. Unfortunately, Roy and Andrew are not with me today, but we've got a great episode lined up for you, some bonus content. As you know, we typically release on a monthly basis, but we had something that we really wanted to share with you, so we're going to go ahead and give you a bonus episode this month. And there's going to be no review today, which is typically what we do, exploring family-friendly audio drama, but we have a special guest here that we're going to chat with about a brand new audio drama series, and I know you're going to enjoy this. So sit back, relax, and we're going to get started in just a moment. Before we do that, I wanted to give out our contact information in case you'd like to get in touch with us. Shoot us an email, feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. Send us a text or a voicemail to 623-688-2770. And again, that is 623-688-2770. Well, joining us today on the show is Mr. Phil Lawler, and most Adventures in Odyssey fans will know him. He's one of the co-creators of this series, as well as the voice of Dale Jacobs, also the author of the first complete guide to Adventures in Odyssey. Phil Lawler, thank you very much for joining us today. It's an honor.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, JD. Thank you for having me on.
We're here to talk about your brand new project called Iliad House. We're going to get to that in a few minutes, but... before we do, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other work that you've done. Obviously, AIO fans know your work very well. And I know that with Odyssey, you took a very detailed and deliberate approach to the development of the characters and the places. And it appears that you did the same with Iliad House. Why is it that you do that? And do you do that with every project that you work on?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best way to actually get a series going. It provides a great foundation for the series. It provides future writers for the series a great foundation to go back and take a look at what we had in mind when we were first starting. The idea of doing that came from a guy named Paddy Chayefsky, who wrote a lot of television programs back in the 1950s, and he also wrote the movies Hospital and The Hospital and Network, and amongst other films. And he was a great, very brilliant writer. And he said that he has to know everything there is to know about his world that he's creating before he ever writes a line of dialogue. If he doesn't know everything there is to know about it, then how can he expect to get across to the people who are watching and listening what the world is all about? So he did very, very detailed work on his series and on his films before he ever wrote any dialogue or any kind of scenes or anything like that. Did the whole history of the network for network, did the whole history of Hospital, the Hospital for the Hospital. And so I thought, you know, that's really a very important thing to do, I think, for the creators of a series. They have to know their world so that they can portray that world and present that world to the listeners and to the watchers.
Do you ever feel that kind of boxes you in any way?
Well, it certainly hasn't with Odyssey. I think almost 26 years of programming sort of shows that we weren't really all that boxed in. It can, if you decide that what you want, you know, that you've got to be a servant to this thing. You have to remember that you're still the creator and you're still the one who is in charge of the world. And if something doesn't work, or if something simply isn't going to happen, or if it's not something that is necessarily important to the world, it may be detailed that you like and that you know, but it's not necessarily important to the world, well, it's perfectly fine to branch off. The whole idea behind it is that you want to be able to have that foundation in case you go way, way off the rails, which can happen quite frequently in creative projects. All of a sudden, you go down rabbit trails, you go down all sorts of different places that you probably didn't want to go. It's just really nice to have that foundation that you can come back to and say, okay, what are we? What is this place? And where? What is this world that we've created? Let's get back to the basics and get back to the meat of the series.
Sure, and that makes absolute sense. And using that as a basis for this next question, is there something about an Adventures in Odyssey character or a Jungle Jam character or any other project that was part of this mapping out process that we may not know about, a detail that never came up in a show?
I get asked that question a lot when I talk about this. People really want to know the inside scoop. Is there something about Odyssey? Is there something about Jungle Jam? Is there something about one of these other shows that you're not telling us? We want to know who the secret characters were. I'm gonna leave it very ambiguous. I'm gonna say that yes, there is, but not much in terms of Odyssey. There is stuff that happens in the creation of Adventures in Odyssey and in the mapping out of that series that we still haven't seen, that hasn't been seen and may never be known. It all happens in terms of the creative process and some of the things that we used to do together once the series was up and running. After all that initial creative stuff was going on in the creation of the series, and then every writer and every production engineer that came on board after that initial creation added their own uniqueness to the series. And some of that stuff played out, and some of that stuff was just for us internally and will never be played out, but is reflected in other ways in each of the episodes. So, one thing that I probably could say would be, for instance, in the way the character of Wit is portrayed and written, it becomes an instinctive thing and an instinctual thing. And you just have to kind of know how that works and what happens and what are the triggers that really make that happen for each individual writer. And how the showrunners then also have to bring all that together and make sure that the character is consistent. So little things like that that are kind of inexplicable, really, and they're really not all that exciting. But I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. No, there's no character or anything like that that we had that that people really want to know about. Oh my goodness, that Wit was a circus clown in a former life or something. I don't know. Nothing like that.
Well, I know you were involved in another project called Kids Corner. Can you share what your role was with that series?
Yes, absolutely. Kids Corner is a wonderful series that's done by the Back to God Hour folks up in Chicago. And I helped them pull that series together. They had the basis of the series going on before I joined. I was, my memory, and I went back and looked in my filing cabinets. I had a bunch of notes back there, is that Even years ago, before the series actually started, I remember having conversations with folks about those characters, about Mr. Liz and about all those kinds of characters. And then years later, I was contacted by Barb Brower, who runs the series, and Mark Drenth, who was the production engineer on the series, and helped to revamp the series and put it together again in a different kind of format and more of a linear storytelling, half-hour storytelling format. And that was a great deal of fun to work on that show and create those characters. There's a wonderfully creative folks up there in Chicago, and they're really working hard to make that series go. And they've been very successful with it. It's been quite good. It's obviously far more anthropomorphic, mm-hmm. because it's lizards and not human beings, but the stories are still very wonderful, and they still do a great deal toward family. Putting out family content and good Christian content also for kids.
Yeah, I rather enjoy it, and I've mentioned a couple times on the show, but yeah, I would like to see more of our listeners catch on to that show, because I think it's great stuff.
Yeah, very very good stuff, very fun stuff. They deal with a lot of different kind of issues. They're very biblically based, and it's a really good way to get kids interested in both the whole idea of audio storytelling and then also just strong biblical content for them.
All right, well, let's jump into Iliad House.
Woo!
we're really excited about this project, and I think if our listeners have not heard anything about it yet, well, then they haven't been listening to this show, but I wanted to play a little bit of a teaser to kind of give you guys an idea of what we're looking at here.
Just when 14-year-old orphan Jesse Davidson is finally getting used to living in a strange place called Iliad House, owned by his emotionally distant and peculiar uncle, and located on an island populated with eccentric people, he discovers that the old, stationary, abandoned train he and his friends have been using as a clubhouse for the past year can actually move. Through time. Jesse and his friends take a wild train ride to the future and the past, and along the way learn some hard truths and dark secrets about themselves, that there is always forgiveness and redemption for those who desire it, and for Jesse, that there is much more to Iliad House and to why he and his uncle are there than anyone realizes. Iliad House, a new audio drama series from Phil Lawler, coming soon.
Well, from the moment we first heard the news that this was in the works, Roy and Andrew and I have been like just sitting on the edge of our seats, basically waiting for this thing to happen. And finally, we've got some more information, and you've even released some opening scenes that people can check out. There's links in the show notes for those who want to go hear that. It's nearly 3.5 minutes of one of the scenes, and so it's great stuff. First of all, Phil, I've heard your explanation of the title of the show and its relation to Homer, but can you share that with the listener?
Well, I like epic Greek poems. Sue me. Let me see if I can give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of this. Adventures in Odyssey. I came up with the title of Odyssey, and the town name of Odyssey. Basically, as an homage to Homer, but also because one night I was trying to sit. If anybody's read The Complete Guide to Adventures in Odyssey, then they know this. I was, we're trying to figure out what to name the series, and what to name the town. And I was in my office at my house at my home, and I'm laying on the floor, and I'm trying to think. And I look over, and on my bookshelf, there's a book by William F. Buckley called A Delegate's Odyssey. He was a delegate to one of the presidential elections. And it was called The Delegate's Odyssey. And I thought, Odyssey, hey, that's a great name for the town. And then a great name ended up being the name of the series. And, of course, Odyssey, the Odyssey was about a long journey, which, in the canon of the series Adventures in Odyssey, Witt says that several times. We had a lot of promotional material about, an Odyssey is a long journey filled with adventure and excitement. And that's what our Christian lives are, too. Our worldview and Christian worldview is about a journey. It's an ongoing journey. That we take, and cut 2 years later, I wanted to do kind of a spinoff from Adventures in Odyssey, take some of the characters and put them in their own series, and I called it Iliad House, and partly because I thought I was being terribly clever in doing the Odyssey and the Iliad together, but also because Iliad House at that point was, in that incarnation, everything has changed a lot, in fact, completely since this happened, but Iliad House was originally a like a fraternity on the campus of the Campbell County Community College. And that's what Iliad House was initially. Well, that didn't really work. It didn't happen, whatever. And I always kept the idea in the back of my mind. I really wanted to do a series that's targeted slightly older than Adventures in Odyssey. Let's wanted to move into the teen years and the a little bit out of the junior high and into the more of the teen years. And so that idea came back to me when I started thinking about this and how technology has changed and how fundraising has changed and all these things kind of play together so that this is kind of the best time to be able to revive that idea. The Iliad is about a battle. Whereas the Odyssey is about a journey, the Iliad is about a battle. And so if the journey is sort of the ongoing thread through Adventures in Odyssey, the battle is sort of the ongoing thread through Iliad House, which is the idea that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the demons and the darkness of this present time. And that definitely will play out in the stories in Iliad House. We live in a natural age and also in a supernatural time. And Iliad House is a place. There are places in the world where, you know, strange things happen, eerie things, even supernatural things. And that's where the characters in Iliad House live, in one of those places.
So in this current iteration of Iliad House, when did you first decide to let's go ahead and make this happen?
Well, the backstory there is the I was doing a lot of different things, which I always do. I'm always involved in a lot of different things. And I got a call from a group called the Homeschool League Defense Association, HSLDA. And one of the folks who was there, they have one of their departments and groups is called Generation Joshua, Gen J. And they run iGovern camps all over the country. Fantastic camps. They're really amazing places where they bring kids in and teach them about government, bring homeschoolers and all sorts of kids in, and they teach them about government. They teach them how to make how government works, what happens with government. And the camps are a week long, and they're really remarkable and really fantastic. Well, one of the guys who runs that one of those camps, Jeremiah Lorig is his name, he called me up and he said, you know, we're going to be holding a camp in the Southern California area, which is where I live, and we'd love to have you come and speak at the camp. And he explained what everything was. And I said, well, I love history and I love politics as a sideline, but I'm not really, you know, into that. And he said, that's okay, just come. I mean, the kids know you, they know who you are, and they'd love to hear from you. And I said, okay. So I went over and spoke with them, spoke to the kids. And the real fun thing that we did was it was around July 4th that year. And so I said, let's read the Declaration of Independence out loud together. And that went over really well. It was a lot of fun to do. It was these great live readings. And I've done that now for a couple of years. I've gone back and done that with them. And I hope to make it a tradition, do it every year, because it's a really great thing to do. And then after that, they wanted me to, the same group said, well, we're having our annual meeting with our organization, and we bring the kids in, and when the adults are off meeting, we need to do something with the high school age kids. We have different things for younger age, but we need to do something with the high school age kids. And what we would really like to do is radio drama. And we can think of no better person to come in and help us with this. I said, yeah, sure, that I'd love that. So went down to Orlando, and it was a blast, a really great time. Had a lot of good response and a lot of very talented young kids out there who wanted to learn how to put radio dramas together. And so they did. They broke up into five or six groups, and each of them wrote from the ground up. They did about a 10-minute radio drama piece for each group, and from the ground up wrote it and acted in it, did all the sound effects, did all the post-production, and presented them all. And it was a very, very interesting experience to do that in such a short time. We only had like 4 days, and they all did a very, very good job. And so I said, that was right about the time, and I was thinking, you know, I bet you they would like to to hear a radio drama for their age, a little bit more for their age. Not that Adventures in Odyssey isn't, but something that's kind of targeted for them. Mm-hmm. And I thought about Iliad House again, and I brought it up, and I brought it up to the guys that I was working with, the folks that I was working with there at HSLDA. And I said, what about it? What do you think? And they said, wow, that sounds like a really good idea. So we formed our own little organization apart from anything. We're not affiliated with any organization. We're not affiliated with or backed by Focus or HSLDA. We're an independent organization. But we all got together, and thanks to technology, they're out in Virginia. That's where they're headquartered. I'm in California. One of the other partners is up out here with me in California, but he's up north. And we have people in the Midwest. And so thanks to technology these days, we can all get together via Skype or via Google Hangouts, and we can have weekly meetings. And it's been a real pleasure to work with them. And then we decided, how are we going to do this? Well, the way to raise funds these days, again, technology is such that we have crowdfunding available to us now, and that's what we've done. And we've been, God has blessed it. And so we've been very, very fortunate in our second go around. Our first go around didn't go too well, but our second go around has been much more successful.
It was exciting to see it take off and get funded so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. We were very happy with that. We learned a lot from the first one. I think that we all were very excited about it and about the prospect of it. And got a little ambitious, perhaps, And we learned a lot from how that first campaign went, and then took the lessons that we learned and immediately turned around and launched the second campaign and had more reasonable goals with it. And our initial goal has been met, and we met it in less than 3 days, which we are just thrilled by. Thank you all very much who have donated and contributed to the campaign. And now we're looking to go with our stretch goals. We reached our initial goal of $15,000, which is what we need to get the pilot series done. And now we're looking at stretch goals of $20,000 and $25,000 if we can get them. So we can bring more episodes to everybody. That's the whole idea here, is the more money we can raise, the more episodes we can bring to everybody.
Absolutely. Now, we played a little clip, kind of a very brief overview of what listeners can expect from this series, but can you share a little bit more detail about some of the central characters or the series in general?
Yeah, absolutely. The series is basically about a young man named Jesse Davidson, which you just heard in the clip, and he is an orphan. He was orphaned when he was about 3 years old, and he was bounced around from foster home to foster home to foster home, not necessarily in a bad situation or, you know, in a Dickensian sort of way, but he's just been bounced around, and finally they discovered he had an uncle that he didn't even know he had. And his uncle's name is Christopher. Christopher Portalis is his uncle's name, and he's a professor, or was a professor, and he lives, the uncle owns this place, strange place called Iliad House, and so Jesse has come to live with his uncle. And the uncle is, kind of an odd fellow. It's not that he's mean or scary or anything like that, but he just has secrets about himself that he cannot reveal to Jesse quite yet. And they are not, you know, bad, deep, dark, awful, sinful things, but they're much, he is a special guy, let's put it that way. And he needs to nurture Jesse. He has been told, it's come to him, to his attention, that he needs to actually nurture Jesse, because not only is Jesse the only family that he has, but Jesse ends up being kind of special too. And so Iliad House sits at the base, at the southern tip of an island called Verity Island, which rests off the eastern seaboard of the United States, off the east coast of the United States. And Verity Island is a fun place in and of itself. It's kind of a long, thin island, but it has on it a village, an artisan's village called Verity Village, in which a bunch of craftsmen, artisans and craftsmen live. And it's a village like Old Sturbridge Village, and it keeps its historical character. And there's only one way on or off the island by vehicle. There's only one bridge. You can get on and off by boat, but there's only one bridge that goes into Verity Village. And there's all sorts of fun characters in Verity Village that we'll be meeting, such as Arnie and Barney Pickle, who own Pickle's Cafe, and Jonas Grumby, who has a tour boat that goes around the island, and Hildy Wagner, who is the town blacksmith and ballet teacher. So there's all sorts of fun characters in there that we'll meet. There's also a lot of history on the island. It has a fort, Fort Verity, that's on the eastern side of the island. There's the ruins of an old Indian village on there as well. And then, of course, there's this train that sits on the island as well, that's sort of an abandoned and stationary old train and train depot. And Jesse and his friends have been using it as a clubhouse. And then they discover that this stationary train can actually move through time. So but then Iliad House itself is also a very unusual place, and most of the villagers, they just don't go down there. They find it kind of an odd and peculiar place, and they actually warned the uncle against buying the house. But he's there. He knows why he's there, and he knows why Jesse is there as well.
Well, it sounds like you've got plenty of material to glean from and for future plot points.
Well, we're certainly trying there. You know, there are a couple of friends that Jesse has as well. There's Stu Martin is his friend. He's a kind of an engineering whiz, a mechanical engineering whiz, and he likes science and he likes mechanical engineering and physics. And then there's also Cassandra Wilson is her name. Crazy Cassandra, they call her, because she has all these deja vu moments and kind of spooky things that happen to her, and and weird moments. But both of them go with Jesse on this journey through time. And like the clip said, they learn some hard truths about themselves. There's some very interesting adventures and things that they have to learn. And they also learn that there's redemption and forgiveness for those who ask for it.
What would you say to the person who's listening who says, all right, come on, time travel, haven't we done that already?
Yeah, you know, we have done that. We've done that a lot. And but the reason why it's done so much is because we can't get enough of it, apparently. it's fascinating to everybody. I think time travel is fascinating to everybody who thinks about it and talks about it. Who wouldn't want to go back in time and experience great historical moments and try to find out what they're really like? I think that's why historical societies are so big. I think that's why the History Channel took off as big as it did, and I think that's why we wanted to do it here as well. It's a fascinating concept. And time travel stories, of course, are nothing new. I mean, they go back to H.G. Wells and the Time mm-hmm. Machine. They go back further than that. But again, there's a reason why they're nothing new. There's a reason why we want to do that. We are fascinated by who we are as human beings and who we are as, where we came from and what shaped us to be the people that we are. And, a lot of the time travel stuff that you see in and around kind of wants to mess around with time. And we're tempted to do that sort of thing too in our stories. But there's a bit of a different in this pilot series, at least, there's a different kind of usage for time and time travel in this one. So I mean, that's all I'll say. You have to listen to it to get everything else to get the full import. You'll have to listen to the whole thing. But yeah, sure, there are a lot of, obviously there's a whole bunch of stories about time and time travel, and it's nothing new. But that's the way we like it.
Nice. So looking ahead, you've got a successfully funded pilot series. What's the next step? Another crowdfunding campaign or offering digital downloads of new episodes for a fee?
Well, some of those details have to be worked out. We're also looking at maybe starting an ongoing crowdfunding situation. We've investigated some new technology, new computer programs, and new websites that will say, Kickstarter is great if you're doing a one-off project, but what if you need, an ongoing source of capital? And here's how to do that. So we're looking at those things. Those are new and they're out right now. And we've also had a lot of people ask us in our Kickstarter campaigns when they have written to us and said that, we're great, we'd love to fund this. How can we give on a regular basis? How can we donate to you on a regular basis? How can we keep providing on a regular basis? And we're investigating that. The idea also, though, of course, is to make sure that we're going to produce the pilot series, get it out there, and make it available for sale. Absolutely. And see if we can sell as many as we possibly can, put them on Amazon and any other places out there that we can possibly put them on, and our own website, and get people to download them and pay a fee for them. I don't know that it's an ongoing fee. I think we're probably going to do just more of, here we have a new series. Let's, it's available to you, and then we'll do the marketing for that we need to do, and try to get it out that way, raise funds. And we're, of course, dependent on lovely people like yourself and other folks out there to get the word out. Whenever we have a new one going, we'll want to get the word out to you all. And we've also had some interest in radio stations. Some radio stations have contacted us and said, hey, we got a new series out. We know your work in the past, and we'd love to hear it and see if we can maybe put it on our schedule.
Very cool. That was actually one of my next questions, is radio in the picture. So what are your goals for the series? Are you envisioning another long-running show like Odyssey?
Oh, that would be fantastic. Wow. That would put me at about 102. when everything, if it runs as long as Odyssey, I'm going to be like this, octogenarian radio producer, which is nothing wrong with that. I think that's fantastic. I'd love to have a series that runs as long as that. Radio is a little bit of a different animal. As you well know, I mean, it's a beast that needs to be fed. You'd have to get stuff out there as far as established radio stations, the more quote unquote old school radio stations who just have a daily schedule that they need to keep. And we'd have to be able to do that, which of course requires more funding to be able to do. Mm-hmm. That's where it is advantageous to be a part of an organization that has, you know, that can offset your funding that way. But as an independent company, we don't have those deep pockets, and so we can't really, you know, promise to go be putting stuff together. We have to be able to make the money back so that we can provide more shows to everybody. It's kind of an ongoing thing. So if we can get sponsorship, that would be fantastic. We would love to have that happen. Perhaps we can work it out in terms of a sponsorship kind of a situation. And then also we can investigate the idea of doing what you're doing right now with RSS feeds and with podcasts and creating our own network and trying to put stuff like that out there and partnering with folks like you to be able to get it out there as well.
This is all exciting. We're right on the cusp of this great thing happening, and we're delighted to be able to get the word out to our listeners. Is there anything that I haven't asked regarding Iliad House that you want people to know about?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it. Just please, you know, everybody go to the Kickstarter campaign. You'll take a look at a wonderful video that's up there that we got our initial kind of pitch video that's right at the beginning. It introduces you to team members. Even if you've already donated, please keep checking back on the Kickstarter page. We've got new stuff we're putting up there all the time. I've done 2 video updates so far. We've got more video updates to come from each of the team members. We have the one clip from the series. I've got another one. I've got, I think, 3 more. I think when all is said and done, 3 more clips up there. So keep checking back. You can hear more clips from the series. And just fun stuff that we've got ready to go. And go to our Facebook page. We're at nearly 2,300 fans right now, likes on the Facebook page. So please keep adding to that. Any kind of support that people can give us as far as just... that kind of support would be fantastic. Keep spreading the word to your friends and neighbors. Stop people in the streets. Tell them all about Iliad House if you can, because we really want to bring the series to you. And we thank everybody for their support. We really, from the bottom of our hearts, we consider folks who donate to the series to be our partners, and they have been great partners indeed. And we thank them all from the bottom of our hearts.
Well, you can go to audiotheatercentral.com/37 for episode 37. There's a link to the Iliad House homepage. There's a link to the Kickstarter campaign. And embedded in there is that clip that we played a little earlier. So check that out. Be sure to be a part of this new series. I mean, we're all fans of audio drama here. So let's step up with our finances and say, hey, we want to see this happen. So, Phil, thank you again for taking time to chat with us today. And... we're looking forward to where this is going.
Well, thank you again for having me on, and I sure appreciate all the support that you have given us. Keep up the good work. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, sir. Well, again, the show notes are at audiotheatercentral.com/37. You can call or text us at 623-688-2770. Send us an email, feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. Check out the show notes again. Go visit Kickstarter. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Audio Theater Central is a production of Radio CSS Media. RadioCSS.com.
All right, that's a wrap.
Very good, sir.